Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
My name is Dries Bethart. I'm the founder and project lead of Drupal, also co-founder and CTO of Acquia, also co-founder of Mollum. So the current state of Drupal 7 is we're still in code freeze, which was announced at the last conference in Paris. Right now we have a couple of alpha releases out and we're heading towards the first beta release, which will be made available as soon as we sort of fix the upgrade part in Drupal 7. And then hopefully we can quickly get to a release candidate and a release. And I think as of this morning, there was like 112 critical bugs left. So we have quite a bit of work left to be done, but the number keeps, you know, going down. So that's the exciting part.
And it sounds like you've been doing a lot of traveling around different places and giving lectures. What, maybe talk about like what, where have you been going and what you've been doing and talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing some public speaking at conferences. I went to Side by Southwest. I went to OSBC, which is the Open Source Business Conference. So, you know, been talking about a number of different things, but all sort of in the Drupal sphere, if you will. And then I've also done a couple of trips, actually, one to Paris and one to London the last 5-6 weeks, just to meet with Drupal users. And I met with some of the larger users and, you know, some of the smaller users, as well as both large and small development shops, just to get a sense of the state of Drupal and get a feel of what they're working on and what the problems are that they face. So,
and just, you know, there was a picture of you and Kieran all in front of the White House. And since the last time we talked, the White House is now gone on to Drupal. Is there anything that you can say that, as to like how that came about and what is the state of that right now?
Well, there's not much that I can say about that right now. I mean, they're obviously still using Drupal. No, not much I can say.
Okay. What's sort of on the horizon at Acquia? What's going on at Acquia now these days?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, this year, 2010, we're very focused on launching Drupal Gardens, which is a hosted solution of Drupal, very much, I mean, the same model as WordPress.com or Ning. So we have a lot of our resources focused on getting that to public beta. It's in private beta right now, so.
What do you sort of hope to see? Like, where's the sweet spot of the, you know, I know that Ning is announcing that they're kind of cutting back their free services, and I'm just like sort of curious to see like what your take as to like what the next steps are once there's released.
Right. So, you know, our target audience for Drupal Gardens is sort of enterprises that need microsites, and we think Gardens will be a great platform for people to build these kind of microsites. And, you know, typical use cases could be things like, you know, you have a product launch and you want to build a site for that product, or you have an event or a campaign that you want to do. These are all, you know, really great use cases for Drupal Gardens. It's also what we call socially smart. So there will be lots of integration, you know, with Twitter, with Facebook, commenting, blogging, you know, all of the default Drupal things, as well as some other things. You know, microsites for enterprises, organizations, socially smart, and then, of course, very fast to build. So we have this saying, design to online in 15 minutes, with the idea being that people can get started really quickly and can have a functional site, you know, within minutes. So that's our goal.
And right now, the Core Development Summit is happening. How did that come about, and what is sort of your goals of having all the, you know, big core contributors come in and discussing things right now?
Yeah, sure. It's always, you know, at conferences, at DrupalCons, and especially as they grow bigger, it's sometimes it's hard to connect with all the people, right, because there is so many of them. And so having this day, this one day ahead of the conference actually is a great way for all of us core developers to get together and to, you know, to do a couple of things. First of all, is to have fun, to have, you know, some good time together, and to meet face-to-face, but also, and specifically also, to look back to see what we've done in the past couple of years or year, and to reflect on some of those things, and then, you know, essentially to brainstorm and make plans for the future. So it's, you know, looking back and then planning ahead. And we're talking about all sorts of things. We're talking about technical topics, sort of API changes that we want to make or changes to subsystems, but also we're talking about sort of the development process, sort of more meta talk about how we can become more efficient or how we can change things based on what we've learned and also the world changing around us. So that's what we're doing today.
And so your keynote is going to be coming up on Monday here. Maybe you could just give, by the time this airs, it'll already happen, but give a little preview in terms of like the big messages that you're going to be communicating to upwards of to around 3,000 Drupal people in attendance here at San Francisco DrupalCon.
Sure. I mean, I'm going to touch on many different things in my keynote, but I'm going to sort of give people an update on the state of Drupal and some of the recent developments that I've seen in the community. You know, one of them, I think, is sort of the enterprise, the bigger users coming on board and also bigger companies. You know, as you can see in the hallways, you know, companies like Microsoft and Rackspace and those are all sponsors this time, which I think is sort of an interesting change, which I want to talk a little bit about. You know, some other developments like, you know, us switching from CVS to Git is something that I want to talk briefly about. And then also I want to sort of paint a picture of a framework that helps people think about how we evolve as a project and sort of compare that to how other technologies have evolved, just to give people a frame of reference, but also hopefully some level of comfort and some level of insight in, you know, why it is that we're doing the things that we're doing and why it's all normal, although it might be scary, right, the fact that we grow so big so quickly. But I think providing that framework will help people think through some of the issues that we have in a bigger context.
And so just in this room next door, there's maybe 100 or so developers who are talking about different things that have contributed to the Drupal project. And Drupal is really just this collection of people all over the world that are doing these little bits and pieces, with some people who are contributing, you know, a lot and some people a little. But it seems to be this networked trust hierarchy that you're managing in a sense. So if you're thinking in terms of, like, you know, the growth an expansion of this community moving forward, where do you see is like what's holding us back and what is it going to take to kind of take it to the next level?
Right. I think there's a couple of things, you know, and before I go there, like, you know, in my keynote, I'll show some data. So I actually ran some numbers and, you know, more than 700 people have already contributed to Drupal 7. And that means I've accepted patches from more than 700 different people. I'm sure many more people submitted patches, which, you know, have not yet been accepted and, you know, might not get accepted. And in researching the data, one of the things that I saw is that actually 50% of all the work came from like 25, 30 people. So what you see is it's really a small group of people doing, you know, half of the work, you know, which is interesting, right? Because what does it mean to scale if a small group of people does a lot of the work? So it might mean scaling is still, you know, very doable. On the other hand, you know, for example, when I went out to Paris and London and, you know, everywhere else that I met Drupal companies or Drupal users, it's pretty much clear that the lack of Drupal talent is holding them back. I mean, there's a lot of people that want to start using Drupal, but they struggle to find the right people. So I think, you know, Drupal training will be, you know, I think is a big deal in terms of Drupal adoption. And the other thing I think is, you know, obviously we put a lot of effort in usability in Drupal 7, which is going to be great once Drupal 7 is released. But, you know, for me, very much it's going to be an ongoing team. I think, you know, Drupal 8 and Drupal 9 and whatever, I think we'll always have to continue to work hard on making Drupal easier to use, because that's definitely still something that's holding back Drupal adoption.
In the process of making core development, do you foresee in the future that you'll just have two core maintainers, or is it going to have more maintainers of subsystems, or is there any sort of changes on that front as you scale up and grow more complex?
So, I mean, we're still very much brainstorming about that. One of the things we'll do is switch to Git, which I think will slightly change the dynamics of how we work together as a community, because I think it will enable people to, or groups of people actually, to go off and sort of innovate within their own world, if you will. And then when things are more or less finished, to come back upstream and submit bigger patches. So I think what we'll see is, instead of lots of small incremental patches. You know, this is just a guess, of course, but I think we'll see bigger patches based on sort of the Git model, which I think will help scalability.
It seems like the nature of the Drupal community is evolving. It's like at a point where a lot of the functionality that's out there is in contributed modules, so it's a lot of putting things together. So the nature of development has changed a little bit in the sense of the people who are working on core development seem to be, some of them are working on behalf of companies like Acquia, but it seems like the majority of people who are doing it in their like after hours, like free time, if they have time to sort of throw at it after their day job where they're getting paid, then they can sort of go. Do you see that as sort of like an issue, is like sustainability in the long run of if there's going to be like turnover in people, or is that a situation you're aware of, or how do you see that?
Right. Actually, I don't really know whether it's true or not. I honestly don't know if it's more companies, you know, sort of helping Drupal advance or people after hours. But I do think that as Drupal gets bigger, and I don't know if that's right now, that's the case or not, but I do think in the future that it's very natural to, you know, have those companies be more involved and help drive some of the stuff. Like, for example, Microsoft will announce this week that they basically funded, you know, one, PDO drivers for Microsoft SQL for the PHP project. And secondly, on top of that, Microsoft SQL integration for Drupal 7. And so I think that's an example of how a company like Microsoft is helping Drupal advance. So, and ultimately, I think that's a very good thing. I mean, it helps the project grow, and it helps us reach many more potential users.
What's new at Malwern these days?
You know, first of all, we spend a lot of time scaling our technology because we get so much requests nowadays. We're handling, you know, between 3 and 5 million requests a day, and all of these are uncacheable because of the dynamic nature of things. So, you know, very much we spend a lot of time scaling the backend system. We're also working on a number of new features. At the top of the list is profanity detection to help certain websites deal with profanity or hate words and stuff. Something else which we've done some experimentation with is sort of sentiment detection to get a sense of whether a comment or a post is a happy post or an unhappy post. And the idea being that we can develop dashboards for large sites that have thousands of comments a day. And so we can develop dashboards that give those moderators a quick view of where the fires might be, if there's a lot of unhappiness or a lot of flaming going on, that they can quickly go to those hotspots, if you will, and sort of step in and help moderate the content. Probably something for big sites, but that's sort of two features that we're working on.
And what else are you looking forward to this week? I'm sure you've got like a lot of stuff that you know ahead of time what's going to on your radar, but what type of stuff that you are you looking forward to?
Actually, mostly looking forward to just hanging out with people and brainstorming about the future of Drupal and sort of making plans for the next 6 to 7 months.
It seems kind of weird to be talking about Drupal 8 when Drupal 7 still.
I know, and that's probably going to scare a lot of people, but in a way, that's always been the case for me. I've always been one or two releases ahead of, you know, most other people. So, you know, we start making plans now for Drupal 8. Doesn't mean we start executing on them, but we can definitely start brainstorming.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.